Colossians chapter 3. If you see the screen up there, Christ the center of everything, my church, my belief, and my life. I like that. Colossians chapter 3, verse 18. I've entitled this text, When Christ is Lord of the Home. When Christ is Lord of the Home. Something is wrong with the American family today. Would you agree with that? But that's not the purpose of the sermon this morning. The purpose of the sermon is not what all is wrong with the family and why. But the purpose of the sermon this morning is to share with you what a spirit-filled family looks like. What does a family look like when Christ is Lord of the home? We know that the family was the first institution that God founded on earth. We find that in Genesis chapter 2, verse 18. And as the home goes, you heard it, so goes the church, so goes the society, and so goes the nation. And I submit to you that we have anarchy in our streets because we got anarchy in our homes. Now, Paul addresses the various members of the family. A biblical family is a father and mother and children, a male and a female parents. It's not two women. It's not two men. And I was glad to see Penny's this week did not have their two fathers commercial for Father's Day. I like that. Because I had quit shopping at Penny's because of that. And I have my right to spend what little bit of money I got where I want to spend it. Amen? And I was glad to see that. So Paul addresses each of the family members in the family and points out what makes a strong and godly home. And as we look at our text, they're very clear. I'm kind of doing a twist on it here. He's giving an admonition to the father and to the mother and to the children, but I'm going to turn it around and share with you when Christ is Lord of the home. What does it look like? Let's stand in honor of God's word. We'll begin. Let's go back to verse 16 and we read one verse, and then we'll go to verse 18. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Notice what he says there. Dwell in you richly. Why? When that happens, look what we see in verse 18. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands, as it is fit in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives, and be not bitter against them. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. Father, I pray this morning, as we open the word, that you open our hearts and speak to us. Oh, Lord, we all fall so short in what it means to be a spirit-filled family, because jealousy and envy and strife and egotistic ideas enter into the family, and the family is disrupted. But teach us today what it looks like when Christ is Lord of the home. And we ask these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. And amen. Amen. Brother Marcus, you're doing okay? Don't hang in there? Okay. If you need to leave, you just get up and leave. What does the church home look like when Christ is Lord of the home? So I want to share with you four family interactions that will be present in this home when Christ is allowed to be Lord in the home. He's Lord, but many times we don't put him Lord of the home. Well, look, first of all, the wife submits to her husband. That's how we know we have a spirit-filled family. The wife submits to her husband. Look in verse 18, if you will. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands, as it is fit in the Lord. Paul did not address wives first, because they thought they needed this teaching more than the men. Neither should we think of this submission as slavery or as some call subjugation. We're talking about biblical submission. Now, the world view on this is that the feminist movement. We have women doing things today, roles and functions that was ordained for men to do. Not saying that they're inferior, just saying God has placed them in that place for a certain reason. So there's a feminist movement. You see how the world plays the husband down or the daddy? If you watch the commercials, he's a buffoon. He does nothing but eat potato chips and sit on the couch. Well, that's a good thing sometimes, right? But they make him out to be a buffoon. He's incapable of being the head of the house. The woman has to be leadership. Now, if God did not have a chain of command in society, we would be in total anarchy. And when that's violated, that's why you see what you see on the streets of America today. God has a created order. And if we don't abide by God's created order, anarchy ensues. The fact that a woman is to submit to her own husband. That's interesting. Why did Paul say own husband? Because we have women today submitting to everybody else, every other man but their own husband. Okay? He says, have them submit to their own husband. It does not suggest that the man is better than the woman. And by the way, you know, we're getting to the point in this world, and this happened to me. Yeah, I opened a door for a lady, and she looked at me like, wow, you male chauvinist pig. I mean, like, the feminist movement doesn't like it when we treat them like ladies. And I agree, sometimes we treat them like ladies and they ain't, right? But I'm telling you, that's called chivalry, right? That's gone down the tube, right? I believe in opening the doors. And Faye, I'm making a pledge before God and everybody in this church tonight, this morning. Well, I should have said tonight, that way it wouldn't be held to it. But this morning, that I'm going to start opening your door for you every time. Okay? And okay. All right. So men, y'all will follow that pattern. How many of you still open the door for your wife? Oh, man. I'm in good company then. Okay. All right. It only means that the man has the responsibility of headship and leadership in the home. That's the way God's placed it, right? And men, if you don't take the headship in your home in spiritual matters, I mean, you ain't doing what God told you to do, right? And so we got to get things in order here. Again, we're not talking about anybody being inferior. Headship is not dictatorship or lordship. It's loving leadership. I like that. Both husband and wife submit to the Lord and to each other. You find that in Ephesians 5:21. That's the parallel verse to this verse. It is a mutual respect under the lordship of Jesus Christ. Latter part of verse 18, notice what it says there. He says, as it is fit to the Lord. As it is fit in the Lord. In other words, God approves of it. In other words, he's pleased when you do this. You know, it's not an excuse for selfish independence. I don't need man. We were back there a while ago talking with somebody about why we honor Mother's Day a little bit greater than Father's Day. Because every mother had to have a father, right? Amen. And so we just wonder about that sometimes. So salvation makes her in right standing with God, and her spirit-filled relationship makes her right standing with God, and she is to obey the word and submit to her husband. Now, we're not talking about, honey, come over here and take my socks off and wash my feet type submission, right? There's very few of those around that'll do that, right? But we're talking about the fact that the man taking the lead, the headship according to the Bible, and leading, and the wife following. While it is true that Jesus Christ, according to Galatians 3:28, people use this verse, there is neither male nor female, but that's talking about in relation to salvation. But there are God-ordained roles and functions given to the woman and to the man that we are to carry out. So the first thing happens when Christ is Lord of the home, we see wives submit to their husbands. If you don't see that, it's not a spirit-filled home. Secondly, the husband loves his wife. Now the worldview says that men are not needed. You know, we can do it other ways. They're just buffoons. They're male chauvinist pigs. They're trying to hold us back and like the old days and keep us in subjugation is what they use. They don't understand biblical headship. They don't understand biblical leadership. They don't understand God's created order. And you know why it's that way? Because Paul said in Corinthians, because God created the man first. There's an order that he has placed not only in the church, in the home, in the workplace. If you're an employer, you're the employer, right? If you're the pastor, you're the pastor. If you're head of the school, you're the head of the school, right? And if you're a father, you're supposed to be head of the home. And don't relinquish your position and go off with your own selfish desires, is what he's talking about here. In Ephesians 5:25, Paul said it this way, that the husband is to love his wife as Christ loved the church. He didn't say like Christ loved the church, because we couldn't do that, humanly speaking. He says, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. He gave his all for the church. The next text there, in verse 26, says that he died for the church. He willingly died for us. So the measure of a man's love for his wife is not seen only in gifts and words and deeds and touch, but also in acts of sacrifice and concern for her happiness and her welfare. You know, last night I was sitting in my study, doing a little bit of studying, trying to watch some of the Braves play. By the way, they won 4 games in a row. I hope you've already got your World Series tickets. And I was sitting there, and Faith says, come in here and see your Father's Day present. And I said, I don't know if I should get out of this chair or not, you know. And so I get out and go in there, and she's got my 2 shirts laid out on the bed with the ties, and she's got my belt and my Fossil wallet. Did I tell you all about that? And she's got my Fossil wallet, and she's got some other stuff. And she went through a lot just to lay it out there. Ethan, I don't know why I said your name, Ethan, I'm sorry. But she did a lot just laying it out there for me to make a presentation to me. And Faye, that meant a lot to me, you know? And I appreciate that. And that's not just whistling Dixie, I meant that.
Nice.
Yeah, yeah. Well, there you go, okay? But that meant a lot to me. What was I talking about? Acts of sacrifice and service, right? And in that regards. You've heard of the 5 love languages, right? Touch, acts, and deeds, and words, gifts, touch. I can't remember the 5th one. Maybe that's what's happening, you know, but who? Time, yes. Give your time, you know. I don't care, men. Suffer through it. Sit there for at least 30 minutes and watch the Home Garden Network with her. Amen? And, you know, do that. So that's the 5 love languages, okay? Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. Notice the latter part of verse 19. He says, and be not bitter against him. Again, he had a warning for the husbands here. Be not bitter against them. Husbands must be careful not to harbor ill will toward their wife over something that they did not do or something that they did or did not say or did not do. A root of bitterness is what he's talking about. Can come into the home and poison the marriage relationship and give Satan a foothold. And that's all he needs is a little foothold, right? Women, men, let me tell you something. Women want us to love them as Christ loved the church. But I tell you women something. Your husband wants you to show them respect. Amen. Right? And if you don't do that, you're not carrying your part. So, husbands, love your wives. That's what when Christ is head of the home, a lord of the home, we see wives submitting to the husbands. We see husbands loving their wives. But we also see in verse 20, children obeying their parents. We don't have we only have 2 children in this assembly this morning, but Morgan and Kenley, I know you obey your parents, amen? And Jason, I know you obey your parents, right? Right? Okay, there goes my illustration. But, children, obey your parents. When Christ is Lord of the home, children obey their parents. I don't need to tell you what you see on TV and what's happening. Children run the home, right? Children are to be raised, they're to be guided. I mean, they're not there to raise themselves, you know? They need parental guidance. In today's world, we see our own government, God forbid she should get in the White House, but telling us it takes a village to raise a family. It doesn't take a government to raise your family. It takes two spirit-filled parents, amen, to raise your family. Notice what it said in verse 20. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. A great deal is said today again about the rights of children. And they do have rights. Number one, they have the right not to be mistreated, right? Okay, let me say that again. They have the right not to be mistreated, right? Would y'all agree with that? Okay. I'm not going to keep you long, so y'all don't act like you're in a dentist chair, okay? They have a right not to be mistreated, but they also have the right to be raised in a Christian home. The number one responsibility of Christian parents is to raise them in the fear and nurture and admonition of the Lord. Okay? That's it. That's it. So they have rights. But children also have responsibilities, and their responsibility is to obey. And again, this is just like it is with us as Christians. We obey the government except when the government violates the Bible. Well, children obey their parents except when it violates the Bible, right? Then you need to go to somebody higher up to let them know what's going on in that home. Being obedient to them in all things, just not those things that simply please us, right? But in all things. A child who does not learn to obey their parents is likely to grow up not obeying any kind of authority. They'll defy their teachers at school, right, Miss Inez? They'll defy the police. They'll defy their employers. They'll defy their pastor at their church, if they're in one. And anyone who tries to exercise authority over them, they will rebel against them in anarchy. It starts in the home, doesn't it? Now, the family that lives in an atmosphere of love and truth and reads the Word of God together and prays together and attends church together, and the parents are showing their children the importance of the Lord's church on the Lord's day, will have an easier time of being in the will of God and pleasing the Lord. This is nothing, this is all we see on the news, folks. It's because, it irked me when people rose up and said they took prayer out of the ball game. You can't say the prayer. Folks, it was taken out of the home way before it was taken out of the stadium, amen? And then we're going to get riled up about that. And we don't even do it at home. Fourthly, when Christ is Lord of the home, you have the husbands, you have the wives who submit, the husbands who love, the children who obey. And then number four, the fathers encourage their children. Look in verse 21. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. Now, we see in Hebrews 11:23 that word fathers can also be rendered parents. But anyway, Paul made it clear that parents would make it easier for children to obey. Don't frustrate your children. Don't exasperate your children. Provoke not your children. That means we can exasperate them, or we can frustrate them or discourage them by using unbiblical parenting skills. Now, let me close this by talking to you about how fathers and mothers can encourage their children and give you some 10 parenting tips from the Bible. Number one, one of the most important things parents can do is spend time with their children. Okay? You hear the word quality time. I always had a problem understanding what is quality time. I go with the word time. Okay? Spending time with your children. There's so many men off making a living and they're not even with their children, right? They think just because they send a paycheck back to the house, they're doing their duty. Number two, parents also need to listen to and be patient with their children and talk to them and get feedback. In other words, treat them like adults. Talk to them. Ask for feedback. Pull out their feelings. And then, you know, make your decisions based on that. But they want to express themselves as well. Number three, pray with them and seek to encourage them. You know, you made an A minus on this, you know, therefore all your rights have been taken away. Man, I wish I had made A's when I was in high school, you know. But, you know, encourage them. You did good, you know, but we're gonna keep on working at it, and, you know, we'll see what happens, right? Don't ever compare Johnny to Mary, right? Mary makes good grades. Johnny, how come you can't, you know? Y'all do know children are different, right? I mean, you got them, right? You know that. And then number four, help children develop their personalities, their feelings, their gifts, their gifts, their skills, and their character, okay? Growing up, we saw that John was artistically inclined, so we kind of leaned into that way of drafting, you know? And we saw that Amy liked to break the bones of John, so we leaned her in the area of physical therapy, right? We got it on video. We got it on video. I violate my rule. I said we don't talk about our children, but I don't know your children. But we got it on video. Johnny got him a Georgia Bulldog helmet that year for Christmas, man, and it was about 8 sizes too small, and he'd had it on his head. It was sticking on top of his head, and he was running like he was running for a touchdown, and Amy'd run over there and just grab him by the shoulder and just pull him down, you know? And am I not right, Amy? Right, yeah. So we knew she'd be in good in physical therapy, so that's what she does. And then number five, teach them about God and the things of God through every event of life. Every event of life is a teachable moment, right? So what are we teaching our children? On this Lord's Day, what are we teaching our children? Number six, don't compare one child with another and thereby set up unnecessary competition in the home. Little Johnny, he might be functioning on all cylinders, right? Would you agree with that statement? I mean, you can't get blood out of a tournament. I mean, not a tournament, but a turnip, right? I was thinking about that Methodist preacher in Payville called Turnip Seed. I mean, that was his name, Turnip Seed. And number six, don't compare one child with another. Okay, number seven, don't use children as weapons for fighting against each other. Whoa, that's a big one, right? Number eight, in your discipline, be consistent, be fair, but be measured, okay? And number nine, teach them to make a life, not just a living. Man, we spent our whole life trying to provide for them, teaching them how to make a living. But the one that's neglected is teaching them how to make a life. And number 10, you have heavenly responsibilities. God has entrusted those children to you. They are His gift to you. They are His. And God has loaned them to you for a season, to lead them to Christ and then mature them in the faith. Teach them about God, love God and Jesus, and to be faithful to the local New Testament church. So when Christ is Lord of the home, what happens? Wives submit, husbands love, children obey, and fathers encourage. Let's all bow our heads just a moment. If you will, go ahead and stand. As Wanda comes to play, we're just going to let Wanda play, Brother Marcus and Coach. And you come to play, and all heads bowed, all eyes closed, all heads up. You might not have been the father you should have been, but today's a new beginning. You might not have had the father that you needed to have, but today is a day of new beginning when you can be the one, be that right father to your children and to your grandchildren. I don't know what the situation is today, but encourage us today, Lord, in our home. It all begins and ends with a home. That's why our nation is crumbled. It begins and ends in the home. So encourage us today, to wives to submit to their husbands, husbands to love their wives as Christ loved the church and gave Himself for it. Help us to put our interests secondary and sacrifice for them. And be not bitter against them. Children, obey your parents. It's fitting in the Lord. It's what pleases the Lord. We do it because it's a biblical command. It's an imperative. Children, obey your parents. That don't mean you no harm. They don't mean to rain on your parade. They have been given the biblical admonition to raise children in the fear and nurture of the Lord. And then fathers and parents, we encourage our children. We don't beat them down. We don't discourage them and frustrate them by the way we act. Help us to have a biblical home today. Whatever it is you want to do today, the altar is open. Maybe a recommitment, maybe a rededication. I don't know what it is. We want to give you that opportunity to do it. Father, thank you for your word today. Thank you.